Our reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of the persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Over to verse 21. "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did." Let us pray. Father, we come before you and we are reminded of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Lord, we are reminded that you are God Almighty, the creator of all things. And so we come to you to worship our God this morning, the one true God, the one who made all things. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we worship you so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. But Father, we come before you realizing that the mountains have arisen, the oceans have been filled, the rivers that run to them, and Lord, all that is in them, the sun and moon and the stars in the heavens, they all are your handiwork, and they are marvelous. But Lord, you have looked down upon us, your people, us who have sinned against you, rebelled against our Creator, went our own way, and you sent your Son to deliver us, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. And so we come to worship you not only as creator, which is right and befitting, but we come to worship you as the redeemer, the one who redeemed Israel from Egypt and brought them into the promised land, and the redeemer who has redeemed us from the slavery of our sin through the blood of Christ and brought us into your presence for life and light forevermore. So Lord, thank you so much for being the creator and the redeemer and saving us from our sin. Lord, we come to you today and Lord, we want to praise you and honor and glorify you for all that you have done and prayers that have been answered. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the Napier family and, Lord, the answer to prayer that is there. You are good. You are to be praised. And you do hear and answer our prayers. Lord, continue to put your hand of blessing upon them, and I thank you so much for them. Lord, we want to thank you so much for the events that will take place later this day with the baptism of Sonia and Jenna. Lord, you are good. You are greatly to be praised. You are at work in the hearts of young and old in this church. And we ask that you would continue to do that and put your hand of blessing upon them and their entire family. Lord, we thank you for Jason and Jennifer and their love for you and their desire to see their children follow in your footsteps. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless our church family and that you would put your hand of blessing upon the youth group and the plans for it on Tuesday evening. Lord, we want children and, Lord, teenagers and young adults all, Lord, to come and to enjoy you and enjoy your presence. And, Lord, to walk in the way of Christ, to be taught by his word, to be fed and nourished. So, Lord, would you put your hand of blessing upon this endeavor? Father, we praise you, but also we want to come before you and petition for those who are in need. I especially want to pray this morning for Don Young. He's not feeling well, Lord, so much so that he couldn't teach this morning, and that's a big deal for him. Lord, we know that he is battling cancer and taking treatments. I ask that you would put your hand upon him to heal his body, to give him strength and be with Miss Carol as she takes care of him. Father, I also want to pray for Mr. Gordon and their family, and that you would continue to give him comfort at the loss of Miss Karen. But Lord, we know that her suffering here is over. And Lord, you have been so faithful, and that she is now in your presence. Lord, we miss her. I know her, the family misses her. But Lord, we also grieve as those who have hope. Hope in the resurrection, to whom Jesus Christ is our first fruits. Lord, we pray for Miss Lisa and her eyes, and as she is struggling with the Lord, the shingles that are there, Lord, take care of her. Lord, we pray for many others who are sick, and Lord, don't mention their requests, but Lord, they are hurting. Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon them. Father, we ask that you would be with our missionaries, both here in the state, Joe and Don Lee, those in Utah, Luke and Karen, those in the Philippines on the island of Cebu, Johannes Tengub and his family. And Lord, we pray for Jordan and Hannah and Levi. Lord, we ask for your hand of protection upon them. And Lord, that they would be able to proclaim light and life in a dark place. Lord, as you work through the Apostle Paul to bring light into darkness, I pray that you might work through them as well. Father, we ask now that you would be with our country and the leaders of our country, be with our president and give him wisdom and Lord, safety and protection. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are around him. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done, that your hand of justice and righteousness would do its work, and that you would work through our leaders, not only the executive branch, but through our members of Congress, that you would lead our nation to be a godly nation, dear Lord, to pursue truth and righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would be with our community, that you would bless and keep our community. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our hearts and with our homes. Lord, be with our families. Dear Lord, strengthen fathers and mothers. Draw children to you. I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you are taking your seat, I would invite you to open up your copy of Scripture for me to Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, we're making our way through there. And I would just like to read in entirety the passage that we're going to cover this morning, and then just ask the Lord to bless that together. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better that if that man had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come before you. We have read your holy word. We have heard the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord, speaking meaning into a high and holy event. So I ask this morning that Christ would speak, that he would come forward through his word and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and do his work in our hearts, that he would open up our eyes and our ears. Father, I pray for me that you would forgive this sinner with that blood that was shed and allow me to recede into the background and for Christ to come forward and to proclaim his word to his people on this day, your day. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. Some people love a checklist. Absolutely love a checklist. Checklists are part of life, whether you love them or you hate them, right? Some people like to have that list and to put that pen to that paper and to make that check mark is like the most satisfying thing in their day. Others, the checklist is not so fun. It is a necessary evil. But checklists, whether you enjoy them or not, they are very important. Whether it's on a sticky note at home for the things that you want to get done that day, or whether it's for flying a plane and that checklist that's needed to go through to make sure that the plane is flown safely, or whether you're launching a rocket, there's a lot of checklist that is necessary, whether at home, in a plane, launching a rocket, or everything in between. And some of the things that every checklist has in common is this. They represent something. They represent something that needs to be completed. They represent a task that needs to take place in order to accomplish something. And oftentimes, a checklist is bundled together to accomplish a goal well or safely, a plan that unfolds before your eyes. Let's use another illustration. Perhaps you have a chest in your house. Maybe it's cedar, maybe it's not. Maybe it's at the foot of your bed, I don't know. But in that chest is a quilt. And if you were to open up the lid of that chest and pull that quilt out, at first it could be small, maybe this big. But as you begin to unfold it, fold after fold after fold after fold, you get to see piece by piece, detail by detail, parts of a whole. Until it is unfurled, you can't see it in its entire beauty. But once it is, it tells a story. It tells a story of your great aunt's fingers and the love she had for you, your mother or your grandmother. The quilt, as it unfolds, shows you the details, but as it is unfolded, it shows you the story in the picture. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to unfold the Passover in light of Jesus' passion, and he's going to speak his purpose into that, but we won't see the fullness of that beauty until it is unfolded fully. But as we do this, as he will speak that purpose, as we come to the end of this passage, he's going to speak words and make promises. And here's the question. What will you do with those words? What will you do with that promise? I want you to take that question, place it in your proverbial pocket, and we will get back to it at the end of this lesson. But first, how are we going to unfold this quilt, this tapestry? Point number one, as you will find in your outline in the bulletin, is a Passover prepared. Last week, Jesus did something incredible for us. He actually made a connection and showed us the lenses by which we are supposed to look at his passion, his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's go back and watch him do that for us. Chapter 26 and verse 2. You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified. Did you see what he did? Did you see the move that Jesus made? Passover is coming. I will be crucified. You look through at my crucifixion through the lenses of Passover. The connection that he makes. Now, with that connection, we want to ask this question. How will this unfold and will it be intentional? Is this Jesus' plan for real to die at Passover? You see, this did not happen by coincidence, and this text demonstrates that this is part of Jesus' plan. So look with me there at verse 17, and we'll see what takes place. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us to prepare Passover, or to have us prepare for you to eat Passover?" So do you hear the question that the disciples are asking? Jesus, have you made plans for Passover? If so, where are they? And the question is, has Jesus made plans for this Passover? Will they unfold as he intends them to do? You see, they are in Jerusalem for Passover, but this will be very, very specific. Jesus will give his life on the feast of Passover. It's intentional. It's not like if we were in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July by coincidence, right? And you're there and the fireworks go off and the celebrations happen and you just so happen to be a part of the celebration. Jesus is intentional to be here for this Passover and for a purpose. Watch Jesus' intention, verse 18. He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus has directed them, and they prepared the Passover." I want you to note something in this text. It's not only that the Passover is at hand. It is, and they are going to celebrate it together. But there's more to it than that. Did you hear what Jesus said to say to that person? "Tell that person, so-and-so," we don't know their name, "my time, my hour is at hand." Did you see that? My hour, my time is at hand. This is not just Passover. Jesus was born of a virgin for this moment. Jesus lived his life perfectly and sinless for this moment. Jesus worked miracles to show the power that would happen in this moment. His entire life was aimed for this moment. And so he says, "My hour has come." It is part of his plan. Look at verse 19. "And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." What is clear from Jesus' life and his word is that Jesus walks into this moment with eyes wide open about what's going to take place in the next few days. It is not an accident. He has predicted it. the Son of Man will be handed over, he will be crucified, and on the third day, he will rise again. He walks with eyes wide open into what is coming. Some have said, Jesus was just a good man. Jesus was a good teacher. He was a leader for sure from Galilee that came down into Jerusalem, and the circumstances of life just overpowered him. In fact, one scholar, Albert Schweitzer, stated it like this. He throws himself, Jesus, upon the will of the world, and it crushes him. Instead of bringing in the eschatological conditions, he has destroyed them. The wheel rolls onward. That, end quote, that was the quote saying that the world wound Jesus up. This Albert Schweitzer gets the cart before the horse. He gets it wrong way around. What do you mean by that? The world did not crush the man. The man created the world and is in control of all things. And he chose to come into this moment with eyes wide open. And the question is, why? Why would he do that? Why would the creator, the sustainer, walk into this moment? That's the question we have to hold right now as we go forward. But before we do, let's ask this question. Will anything derail this plan? We move now to point number two, a betrayal predicted. Look at verse 20 with me. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Let's think about this for a second. We already know there's a betrayer in the midst, right? Let me just read it just to make sure we're on the same page. Chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, we know what's going on. The disciples don't know what's going on. Think for a second with me about the Passover that we read in Exodus and that's taking place here. This is intimate. This is you and your family or your close friends sitting around a table, probably in the Eastern style, laying and reclining, eating together, drinking together, and enjoying a close family relationship. Something like small Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends, Christmas lunch, not the Christmas chaos, right? It's small. It's intimate. And right in the middle of this Passover meal, Jesus says, one of you will betray me. Can you imagine that happening at Thanksgiving dinner? The dad at the head of the table, all the family around, says, one of you is going to betray me and our whole family. And then we would not just say, hey, can you pass the sweet potatoes, please? This shook the disciples to their core because they couldn't believe that one of them would be a betrayer. I should say it shook 11 disciples. Look at verse 22. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, is it I, Lord? Did you hear their question? Each one, is it I, Lord? Kyrios, Master. Is it I, Lord, Master? One after another, all the way to 11. Hold that thought, that phrase in your mind for a moment. Is it I, Lord? And then he answers, verse 23, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. Let me ask you, what is Jesus saying there when he says that? He's not so much as pointing out the individual identity of anyone. He's saying how close that person will be to him. It actually comes from a psalm, Psalm chapter 41. Let me read it for you, Psalm chapter 41, verses 8 and 9. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. And the point is that the one to betray will be so close that they eat bread from the same bowl together. Then Jesus goes on in verse 24, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Pause. Here's the point. This is going to happen. The passion will come on Passover as God intended, and nothing is going to stop it. In fact, it goes as it was written, like Psalm chapter 22, hands and feet pierced. Like Isaiah chapter 53, he will bear our transgressions and iniquities. Just as it is written, it will happen. Will the betrayal derail what's going to happen? And the answer is, no way. God will accomplish this. But go back to verse 24. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Hard words, aren't they? Judas is responsible for Judas's actions. He has made the deal. He has made the bargain. What will you give me if I give you Jesus? And he has taken the silver, and it is in his hand. And what does Jesus say? Woe to the man by which this takes place. This will happen. Judas will not derail it. In fact, God is so big that he can take the evil intentions of a man and use them to accomplish his plan. What do you mean by that? Here's a question for you. Did the Jewish leaders actually want Jesus killed on Passover? And the answer is no. Look at verse chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Then the chief priest and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Judas will make sure that this event of betrayal happens this very night. The Son of Man will go as it is written, but woe to that man by whom it comes. So, nothing will derail God's plan. So we have, number one, a Passover planned. Number two, a betrayal predicted. But now we work ourselves to the third point. But before we do, I want you to hear what Judas says. So after hearing that, he, knowing that Jesus knows, says in verse 25, Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? Pause. Do you notice a difference in the words there? The other disciple said, is it I, Lord? Master, leader, Judas says, is it I, teacher? There's a difference, a subtle difference that makes a big difference. What does Jesus say? You have said so. You said it with your own lips. It is you. Now, from there, we move from this betrayal predicted to our final and third point, and that is a purpose proclaimed. You see, the Passover will happen. The quilt is unfolding, and we are seeing detail after detail being fulfilled as Jesus had predicted. But the question is, why does Jesus want to do this? In the book of Luke, it says it like this: Jesus wanted, desired to have this Passover meal with his disciples. And the question is, why? Why does Jesus want to do this? Perhaps the answer to that question is, he says he desired to do this before he suffered. They are reclining at table, celebrating this Passover together, feasting, fellowship, remembrance of God's work in the past, celebrating the redemption there. A time that looks back at salvation and sacrifice. It's supposed to be sweet fellowship. But Jesus desires to take this moment and to speak meaning into what will happen in just a few hours. He wants to show them what's going to happen before it happens through the lens of Passover. Watch how he does it. Verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Those words are so familiar, sometimes we don't remember the context, do we? Jesus is at the Passover meal, and part of the Passover meal is to take the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs mentioned in Exodus chapter 12, and to take it and to have a moment of teaching of what this unleavened bread meant, going in haste, and what the bitter herbs meant, the suffering that would surround this. And Jesus holds up the unleavened bread and then speaks meaning into it, and he takes it, he breaks it, he blesses it, and he gives it. And what does he say? "Take, eat. This is my body." He's speaking meaning into what will take place in just a few hours. The Passover lamb. "This is my body. Feel the weight." You see, the typical blessing would take place at that time. And that typical blessing would go like this. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the world, who bring forth bread from the earth." And Jesus says, "I am the bread that has come from heaven." After he speaks meaning into what is going to take place, look at verse 27. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." The cup also would come after the unleavened bread. They were usually multiple cups in the Passover celebration. And in this cup, there would also be a time of pause and teaching about the meaning of the Passover. In fact, there would be a blessing prayed over this cup that went, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the world, who create the fruit of the vine." And so Jesus takes this cup, he blesses it and gives thanks, and he says, "Take and drink of it." And then he says and speaks meaning into that, and he says, "This is the blood of my covenant." Ask this question. Where does Jesus get those words from? I'm glad you asked that question. Exodus chapter 24, when they are making the covenant at Sinai, Jesus quotes this phrase verbatim from that phrase, except for one word. In Exodus chapter 24, when they are ratifying the covenant on Sinai, it says, "This is the covenant. This is the blood of the covenant." Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant." And now, I told you, or asked and requested, that there would be a question at the end of the sermon. Words that Jesus spoke. Promises that Jesus makes. And now I want to ask you, why would Jesus walk into this moment with eyes wide open, giving his body and shedding his blood and making a new covenant with the people? Why would he do that? Look at verse 28 with me. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Creator becomes man so that he can give his body and shed his blood so that sinners like me and you can be free from sin and pass from death to life. He did it for you and for me. So what will you do with those words? Will you make them your own? It's not just the body and just the blood given. Will you say, "He gave it for me, a sinner, to be saved by his grace"? There's a promise connected to this. Those who partake of that body given and that blood shed. Verse 29, look at what Jesus says. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There will be a day that all those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb will sit around a banquet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave his body and shed his blood and rose again in fellowship forever. That's the promise connected to these words. So I ask you again, what will you do with Jesus' words? What will you do with his promise? Friend, if you have never asked God to forgive you in the name of Jesus and through his blood, today is the day of salvation. Confess your sins. And I'll tell you, he will never turn away anyone who comes to him in the name of his Son. Christian, when we come to this table and celebrate it, it is the high act of Christian worship. It is partaking of what Christ did for us, giving his body and shedding his blood so that we might live. And so I ask you to take these words and let them do its work in your heart this morning. And let me pray now. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we pray that you have opened up our eyes to see the purpose of Jesus' passion through the lenses of Passover, just like you intended. Lord, you intended to do this, and you did do it with eyes wide open, and you did it because you loved us. And we love you because you first loved us. Father, if there's any person here who has never placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for their salvation, I ask that they might do that this morning, to confess their sin, to repent, and to follow you with their whole heart as Lord and King. And Father, for the Christians in here, I pray that our faith would be encouraged, and that as we come to celebrate the ordinances of communion and even baptism here in a moment, that you, Lord, would strengthen our faith as we partake and participate in these events. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.